Each one of us here has hopes. Hopes, dreams, expectations of how we hope that life will unfold, desires about what the future may look like for us. Experiences we would like to have ahead of us. And you know, that is a list which each one of us could enumerate. And we're not, of course, the first people to have had hope and dreams and visions. So it has been throughout the history of mankind, and so it will continue to be. But in this season, when we talk about hope, it is significant that we think a little more deeply about hope and what it really represents, and how we may not only approach the idea of hope in our lives, but how we may, in this Advent season, perhaps deepen our understanding of the hope that moves us and shapes us. Hope is very real. It's part of each human being's experience. Now, I have to say that there are perils attached to hope. You know, sometimes we have wrong hopes. I mean, sometimes we have hopes for something that you've been there, you've experienced this, I'm sure. A hope for something that when it finally came, you realized it wasn't what you were looking for. Because somehow it didn't deserve, in our anticipation, what we were giving it. And so that's a warning and a hazard about hope, that we not place our hope in the wrong things. And then again, sometimes our hopes are selfish ones. What I mean by selfish, not just for ourselves as opposed to other people, but selfish in the sense that we have framed some of our hopes without thinking about God's claim upon us and God's grace. And so they've been centered in ourselves. And of course, when God is excluded, then our hope is dashed and destroyed. And sometimes, you know, the peril about hope is that it just seems so long in coming. We hope for something, we desire something, perhaps even the very right hope and desire. And yet, it seems as if at every turn it gets thwarted or delayed. I'm not much of a movie buff, actually, but there's an old movie you may have seen that had John Cleese in it that was called Clockwise. And it was a bit of a cynical but humorous story of a schoolmaster who's on his way to a very important public appearance in the midst of his peers. And everything goes wrong. Everything that he could imagine and many things he couldn't have anticipated all go wrong. And at each turn, he's seeing himself not getting to this prestigious moment when he's going to receive the acclaim of his fellow headmasters. And there's a scene in which when once again his journey has been interrupted, he says in somewhat of a cynical tone, "It's not the despair. I can stand the despair. It's the hope." And I remember when I first saw that, that line popped out at me. Because, you know, there is a sense in which our hope may be the source for us of discontent or frustration, because the hope is delayed. Now, in John Cleese's character's case, his hopes were pretty well self-centered and perhaps rather selfish ones, but nevertheless, the reality was there that what he was having difficulty with was that he kept, after each incident that impeded him on his journey, he started off with fresh hope that somehow he could put the remaining pieces of the day together and get there on time. And it wasn't working. And there's some truth in that, in the experience of hope in the lives, even of believers, of course, that we find ourselves frustrated because we thought right on the edge of having our hope fulfilled, and it doesn't happen. And so, while we talk about hope in this Advent season, I encourage you to be a people of God who examine your hopes, lest some of our hopes need perhaps to be discarded because they are wrongly chosen, or some need to be discarded because we've framed them without reference to our Lord, and they're really quite selfish. But hope is not destroyed in all of this. There is a persistence of hope, you know, in the people of God. Read through the story in the Old Testament. Israel's hope, always there. Sometimes being partly fulfilled, but then again, often that fulfillment was withdrawn because of the sin and disobedience of the people. And yet it never disappeared. In Israel, there was the persistent hope that God would intervene. He would rescue them. He would provide for them what they could not provide for themselves. And that was illustrated repeatedly in the Old Testament story when some anticipations of fulfillment didn't work out quite as expected. Then it wasn't necessarily that the hope was lost, but the hope was refocused, and new understanding came into that hope. In the gospel lesson today, we have the encounter of the angel Gabriel with Mary, and also a reference to Elizabeth, who is to be the mother of John the Baptist. And here were two people in Israel, you see, who had not lost hope. Mary couldn't fathom this role that the angel was telling her would be hers in the fulfillment of this hope. She couldn't yet quite grasp that. But both she and Elizabeth knew that the things that the Lord had promised would be fulfilled, and that hope that was placed in the Lord and in His Word would never ultimately come to disappointment. And the birth of Christ is all about the restoration of hope. It wasn't as though the people of Israel had no vision of hope, but they needed to have their hope restored. And they needed to have their hope refocused, centered in again upon God's grace, rather than the things that they themselves aspired to accomplish. The coming of Jesus Christ represented new beginnings. That, you know, despite all that had happened, there could be a new start in grace. And that this new start could open the way into things even more marvelous than previously understood and envisioned. It was not an easy journey for Mary, or for anyone who was alive in the generation in which Jesus was here in the flesh, because there was a whole renewal of the idea of hope, as well as securing a sense of hope that had to happen. But so it is. So it is for us too, is it not? That we need to be renewed in hope, restored in our confidence in the hope that the Lord has spoken to us in His Word. For sometimes we grow weary, and sometimes we get careless, and sometimes we treat even the most wondrous things of grace as though they were ordinary. And this celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ calls us back to rethink our hopes, to refresh our vision of what God's intentions are for His people, and to encourage us to grasp again with fresh enthusiasm and trust the hope that the Lord has offered in His Son. And so as we proceed through this period of Advent, may it be a time of reflection for us and a time of renewal, that we see with fresh eyes what God has done and is doing and yet will do in Christ His Son. Friends, this is good news that leads us in a way of renewed hope and restored grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God.